Hello and welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Callie, and I am joined by a very special and absolutely wonderful, lovely gem of a guest, Chica from Shoujo Sunday. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for the very warm welcome. This is actually listeners, this might be your first time hearing me on the Home for Anime podcast. This is really my second time, though.
Well, actually, you know that you were in the, what do you call it? You're part of the 100th episode.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was.
The other, so it's funny, we actually did try to do a recording, and it came out really well, but the file was corrupted. And I was very upset because we were talking for like an hour.
Yeah, it was like an hour and some change. Yeah,
but it's okay. It's fine. Hopefully we don't have that problem this time. If we do, I very well might throw my computer out the window. Maybe not, because I actually need it.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
But anyway, what are we talking about today, Chica?
We're talking about Aim for the Ace movie.
The movie that is said to have captured thousands of hearts across Japan, which I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm sorry. I'm going to lead with the most intense thought that I have. The end of this movie, which is an hour 28, maybe an hour and a half long. By the end of it, that was the biggest slap in the face. That was the biggest, you should have watched the show, you lazy bum, that I have ever received. I was so upset. I was like, what happens from here? Why is this how it ends? It is one of the worst. And like, I get it. People say that it's like a kind of condensed version of the original anime that came before it, which was over 20 episodes. So imagine having to condense all of that into an hour and a half. I don't know what I was expecting. Maybe one episode every 8 minutes. I don't know. It's silly on my part. But everything felt really janky here, and honestly very it was over the top dramatic in some areas, but in others I was like, well, this is just a pleasant sports anime, but everybody is just really extra other than Oka, the main character. She's like the most grounded person aside from her cat, who she constantly abuses.
I mean, the way that the movie is, or the way that I see it, I think, like, it is a condensed version of the show, and so, like, you can tell when they're going into different arcs. Like, oh, this arc must have been one season of, oh, she's brand new, and we're watching her admire Madame Butterfly, I think her name's Reiko. Reiko Ryuzaki.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing Hiromi just be like, oh yes, I love her. And then the next, it's like she's being called onto the team and she's sort of an underdog. We get the training. Like, it's just the way that it ends. It's just kind of like, it doesn't really, I feel like if they skipped that last bit that was at the end, it would have made more sense.
And I would have said, okay, perfect. I make another movie, or do I just go to season two? Do I go to Aim for the Ace, another match? Because, and I completely skipped over what it was about, because I am upset, but this is literally just about tennis. Like, I thought there was going to be some big inspirational deep meaning. No, it's literally just about tennis. It's you're right. It's about Hiro Mioka, who is just this underdog tennis player who time passes so quickly. By the midway point of the movie, they said she's been playing tennis for 6 months. And I was like, the year just started. I thought the year just started. And he gets this, she gets this, and she gets this weird, really dramatic, stoic teacher named Jean, who is just like, Jean pissed me off very badly. Like, for several reasons. First and foremost, Jean is, why won't you just tell her why you picked her to be on this big team that you have going on for the upcoming, what was it, nationals or something like that? Like,
I
why
think
don't
they were, I thought they were competing for some like world championship thing.
See, that happens at the end of the movie is when he's like, all right, I'm preparing you for worlds. But at the beginning, they're just playing against other high schools or something, or like all across Japan. I don't know. But he's basically all she does is wax the heck out of this tennis ball one time out of the several that she missed. She hit it one time. It almost smacked him in the face. And he's like, all right, that's a prodigy right there. I don't know any athletes. It was like he looked in the future and he was like, all right, that's going to be the LeBron James of tennis. This is going to be Serena Williams before Serena Williams was Serena Williams. I don't think Serena Williams was even born at that point. Because this came out in like 70. Well, the original came out
That
in like the
definitely not.
early 70s. So yeah, she wasn't even alive. I wonder if Serena Williams and Venus Williams watched in for the A's. It's actually, it might be something worth asking them one day if I ever meet them. Like, hey, did you guys ever watch Aim for the Ace? Because,
Yes,
like,
and would you please give me a loan
and would
that
you
I
just,
have no plans on
yeah.
paying back?
See, where I work at, we call them gifts.
Oh,
So it's like, could
yes, a
you
gift.
gift me this? And also, like, do you want to break up with your husband or maybe have, like, what's the male version of a mistress? Because I would
Is
totally be
there
that.
a male version of a
I
mistress?
would totally be that for either sister.
Like a side guy,
I
like
guess. But like one that the guys would have to be okay with. Because, like, all right, he's just like, Cameron is just that cute. We have to let him stay here. I am fine with him siphoning my wife's bank account. I'm like, thank you.
there's no male equivalent. I actually looked it up. There's no male equivalent of mistress.
Would it be Maelstrom?
Maelstrom. I don't know.
Or
You'd be
like,
making that up.
I am. I'm making it up on the spot. But no, actually, that is a really good
Maelstrom.
question. Like, I, because, and here's the thing though, like, honestly, I would watch this a million times before I ever watch King Richard again.
True.
Yeah, that's.
Will Smith slapped me.
Did he?
Not really. No, not really. I'm
I was
just
gonna
messing
say,
around.
like, wow, that would have been, you know, it's unfortunate. We're getting off topic here, but this is totally fine. I realize those 90s sitcoms, like the younger people were actually the least interesting because one of the greatest moments in TV history is that episode of Family Matters where Richie brings his kid over and the kid is like, okay, you're right. He does look like the dad from Fresh Prince. He's talking about Carl. And then James Avery comes out like out of nowhere and Carl, Reginald Vale Johnson, he's just like, oh my God, it's Uncle Phil. He like does like the black person run, you know, when you're like laughing and then you run away and then you come back. That was the best moment in TV history in the 90s. I remember that, like watching that in the 2000s because I was barely alive in the 90s. And like that was great. So honestly, yeah, Will Smith slapped a lot of people that day, but thank you so much for your just making Uncle Phil a thing.
Yeah, honestly true. I loved when they used to have those random collab episodes. I would just be like, "What? I can't believe that I'm seeing this person." Or then like when they used to have the celebrities randomly come on as like the love interest of the week for whatever reason. Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite was watching Family Matters and being like, "Holy crap, it's the guy from Sonic the Hedgehog." That's who he is, and that's who he'll always be.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to what we were talking about, Aim for the Ace. Yeah, Aim for the Ace is just is a like I've never watched such a 7 out of 10 movie before, and I don't give numerical scores, I don't give letter scores, but like this is so middle of the road for me.
Yeah. I think that it's just the way that the movie is set up. I feel like they should have just, I don't know, like rather than have all of these different arcs within the movie, they could have started out by just having, the beginning of when Hiromi is figuring out tennis, or at least like speed up the parts of her reverence for Reiko, and then just get to her being an opponent that's on par. So like, oh, I'm telling you who I am, I'm Hiromi, then her match to allow her to qualify for the world championship thing. And then the end of the movie could have been her at this championship. Is she winning? Is she losing? Like, we're able to experience all of that, because I feel that since they added in these different arcs, it just makes it a little hard to follow, like, like what is the message overall? Like, I guess, yes, you can, I say it's perseverance, but like, where's the last victory, or where it feels like, oh, this is rewarding, like she made it. Like, honestly, I do think if they had ended the film when Reiko and Hiromi have that qualifying match for Hiromi, if they ended it there, I would have thought, oh, okay, this is good. Like, this is getting your general interest in like her ability. And I guess now we have to check out the season to see, how did she do at this championship? But yeah. And I also ended up, my bad. Well, I'll quickly add this. I also realized I watched the live action of this like many years ago. I don't think you can find it online, which is kind of annoying, but I realized this because the lead actress in the television drama, her name's like Aya Ueto. I used to be obsessed with her, and like 2006 or 2007, and so somebody had fan subbed the live action of this series. So I was going into it like, I honestly didn't realize, oh, I've technically seen this before, until I was like looking up the Wikipedia, and I was like, wait, that's what it's called? Because the name, I guess they just had it in like regular Japanese, so they didn't call it Aim for the Ace for the live action. So I didn't realize, oh, I've seen this, but
That's actually no, that's actually a wow factor for me. That was it exactly how you remembered, or would you say the live action was better?
I feel like the live action kind of focused more on Hiromi's ability. It wasn't that long though. Like the live actions back then, they're kind of notorious for being 9 episodes. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
And you know what's crazy to me? There are a lot of pieces of media that do two things. One of them is they borrow from other pieces of media. And then two is like when you have multiple versions of the same series, Like, I think there's two versions of Glass Mask. There's two versions of Full Metal Alchemist. And, like, they're wildly different for parts of it, but then there are parts where they're the same. But then you have, like, works that borrow from other pieces of media, which Gunbuster was heavily influenced by Aim for the Ace. And I did not realize how much it was like how similar they were until I got to the very end of the movie, because everything from the sick coach who does not get help for whatever reason. Well, no. Jin was sick. I don't think the coach was sick. I don't remember. The coach was either
Jin,
sick.
wait, Jin is the
No,
coach.
I mean the coach from Gunbuster. No, Jin was
Oh, okay.
definitely sick. Which, like, why didn't he get that taken care of? But there was like a similar thing with the coach from Gunbuster where they were just like, oh, we're picking this girl because we believe in her, even though we're not going to tell anybody why. And the coach has some secret, and then things happen there. But also, it's like you have the main character who is ends up getting partnered with this superior senpai who everybody loves, and she has to prove her worth to her. It's literally beat for beat, except Gunbuster is just way more fun. And again, that's only six episodes that they did that. So, all of that to say, I probably, like I said in the beginning, I probably would have just been better off watching the show, because all I could think of was, I just want to watch Gunbuster again. I don't want to watch this.
Right. I feel like I would have liked to see the show just to see how it would have ended. Like, I hope that the show's ending is more satisfying.
I think it very well could have been, and to be perfectly honest, if not for, like, say they had the same ending, at least I would have some more fleshed out moments, because that training camp really confused me, especially that whole thing with the ring, where that what was that dude's name, Tomo or whatever, he had the ring. Or like the championship medal or whatever that he gave to Oka, and then Jin took it from Oka and was like, I'll give it back to you when you're ready. But then he just gives it back to Tomo or whatever that guy's name is. And I'm like, what is going on here? What is this circle of life, circle of metal, circle of ring, whatever it is? What is going on? Who
I
are
think it
you
was like,
people?
right. I think that his name is Toto. But
Toto.
yeah, but I think I wonder if I'm interpreting this right, but I feel like Jin took the championship like ring medal thing. I think he took it because he knew that Hiromi would probably start seeing Toto in a different light. And he didn't want her focus to move from tennis to a possible romantic relationship. So he was like, oh, I'm gonna hold this for you, because he wanted her to continue training and to continue focusing on tennis. And then essentially his the coach Jin's training. And then once he was just like, oh, well, the bucket is about to be kicked. Here, you can have this back. Now that I know her head is set with tennis, and once, I'm flying with the birds and whatnot, she's going to be so stuck on trying to prove herself to my spirit that you giving her this championship thing isn't going to make her think about romance, because she'll be too focused on like what avenging his memory, or like not avenging, honoring his memory.
Which, again, I don't understand how this man's mind works. Because, like, even his sister, who comes up like maybe 20, 30 minutes into the movie and is like, oh, so you're coaching again and you're not coaching me. And he's like, how have you been? Are you going to the doctor like you're supposed to be? And then it just skips. it skips on to something else, and we don't hear anything else about it for like another 20 to 30 minutes. His urgency does not make sense to me. Why does it have to be this year? What is he trying to pass down? And why not just give it to his sister, who for some reason is like, all right, I have to destroy this girl because, and why do you have to destroy it? Is it because you're trying to prove that like Jin's teachings are effective for her or for you? Is this an honor thing? What? I don't know where anybody's head is, or why he didn't just go to the damn doctor. If he had just went to the doctor, none of this probably would have happened. He would have been like, oh, I just gotta take it easy. Because what does a coach do? He stands there. This coach stands there and tells the athletes what to do. That is all he had to do. What am I missing? Am I missing something, Chica? Am I missing something? Is my anger not justified?
He never really has a conversation with Hiromi to just say, this is why I believe in you. And I think a lot of this movie could have been fixed or even streamlined if he just asserted why he believed in her. Like, he could leave the mother stuff out because that's kind of weird, but like, just saying you have a natural form, I can see it. This or the I can tell you my qualifications and how I used to be part of the national team and da 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 da. So if I can pick this out, then everybody should trust that. And I think that the conflict of the movie, or at least a good portion of it, would have been fixed between Reiko and Hiromi, because Reiko was just like, why don't you give this opportunity to like another senior member of the tennis club? And that doesn't, and he never explains it to her. And so then Reiko's having this like battle with Hiromi, and Hiromi's heartbroken because that's her idol. Like, I understand your frustration with the movie, because I feel like, I don't know, this is sort of like those weird. It reminds me of when you're watching an anime and they want to make sure that you've been paying attention to all of the stories that they've put in the season so far. So they just have this recap episode, but instead it's a movie length recap episode. So, yeah. It's
Which
it was a lot.
actually expands on the point that I was making earlier about how you have series that like I always use Fullmetal Alchemist as an example. You remember they had that whole Shao Tucker arc, and then in Brotherhood they condensed that to like two or three episodes, but you spent a lot more time in the original. So I'm like, okay, that would have been better. And really, I can't stress this enough. If I had just sat down, shut up, and watched the entire series, I would probably feel better. But at the same time, if it's anything like this movie, that is one heck of a projection that Jin has. He literally is forcing his desires onto this child because her goal was never to aim for the ace. She didn't want to be a top player. She just wanted to have fun. She was not like, oh, I'm going to go to. Was Wimbledon a thing in the 70s? I really don't know. We'll just pretend like it is. Oh, it's 1979. I'm going to Wimbledon. It was like, no, she just wanted to have fun with her friend and play tennis for her high school career or whatever. She wasn't trying to do anything massive. And then here comes this behemoth of a man who, like, kind of looks like Michael Jackson. And he's just like, I'm all of my hopes and dreams. He pulled a Zack Fair at the end of Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. He's like, my hopes, my dreams, they're yours now. And then he pieces out. And I don't appreciate that. Because as somebody, this is getting personal right now, as somebody who has had other people's dreams forced upon him, I don't like that. I don't like his projection. I just don't like what he did to that child, especially because when you put so much into somebody, knowing that you don't have a lot of time left, you are,
It's very manipulative.
it's manipulative and it's traumatizing. And I don't know, that's just like a horrible thing for an adult to do to a child. But like I said, Oka is literally the most grounded character here. I think she, being a kid, one, she is fiercely determined once she gets an inkling that, oh, I have a talent for this and somebody believes in me. I think I can actually do something with this, even though he pushes her really hard, like to the point of throwing up. But it's like, yeah, it's still, it can still be something fun. You just, you, he's going on about it, or he went about it the wrong way because you're legit just messing with a kid's life that way.
Yeah, and I honestly think that there were these weird hints at him having possibly romantic feelings towards her. Like,
I didn't want to
it's.
think that was true. I tried to look past it so bad.
I feel it's kind of. There's just this weird tension that's there. And you see it when she calls him and he just is able to know, like, it's her. So, like, the first time it happens, like, she was trying to quit and he wasn't letting her. The second time it happened, she sort of had the same mentality. But then when she like calls and he knows it's her and he's just like, it's you, Hiromi. And then she's just like, how did you know it was me? And he's just like, you're constantly in my thoughts. And then I was like, what? Like, what? So,
Yeah,
yeah.
I really like I all right, the defender shirt is coming off. I'm sorry, I can't defend him. I think he's a terrible person, to be perfectly honest with you. I think he's a terrible person. The movie would not have happened without him, nor the show. And honestly, I think things could have been handled a lot better if this child had aspirations and if she had a coach who was actually worth something and who didn't just like push his mommy issues and his potential predatory thoughts onto her. Because also, like, what? This is probably just because I'm getting older. It's always nighttime. What time is it when she is calling him, and why does she have his home phone number?
And why is she, why, remember when he called her
From a
that
payphone.
from a payphone, and you're just like, okay, Hiromi's mom, you aren't gonna question why a grown man's calling your house to talk to your child, but.
Yeah, 'cause the first time she was like, he says he's your coach. And I'm like, you don't clear these things? Like,
Right.
isn't there a permission slip? Aren't you supposed to know who this man is? Did
Right.
permission slips not exist before the 90s?
Child, I don't know.
I was very upset. I was very
Yeah.
upset by that. No, this man deserves to be locked up, even though it's not like he would have had long anyway. His sentence wouldn't have.
True.
As he would have died during the sentence, which honestly, like, I'm not gonna say good, but like, maybe you should have rethought some of his life choices, especially because we don't know what he's sick with.
No, it's leukemia.
Oh, it's leukemia. Oh,
Yeah.
right. Yeah, he did say that.
At the very, very, the tail end, you guys. The very end.
I completely forgot. You're right, it is leukemia. So, yeah, did they not have chemotherapy in the 70s?
Don't know,
I
but
don't know
it's
what they.
just
Oh
like.
my gosh.
They're just like, oh, have you been going to the doctors? This is the very beginning. Have you been going to the doctor? To the end. I'll follow you guys. I'll follow behind you. And then he proceeds to like die, like sitting up, which is weird.
Actually, I'm not gonna lie. Maybe it's just like the like. Maybe that's just the man in me, but I thought that was pretty cold. I was like, this
Oh,
man,
that he died
that he
sitting up.
died sitting up. That is some Ashita Nojo type stuff where he's just like, I am sitting up. I am sitting. I am not falling down and dying. Even though they don't say that Joe died, but like, Joe died.
It's like his, 'cause his head was normal and all of a sudden it was like down and you're just like, oh, he's dead. When he's dying, like just before he dies, in his mind, I guess he's in his house and the phone's ringing and he's like, oh, mom, the phone's ringing. It must be Hiromi, like thinking he has to answer it, but then he dies. And then the last thing you see on the paper is like, Hiromi, aim for the ace, which it's just like, I mean, that's the name of the movie,
I know,
but still.
I had a Leonardo DiCaprio moment there.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, so we don't get to see it happen. You're just telling her that, and that's the end. That's it.
Which for
Okay.
which like at zero times, and mind you, maybe this is just because I don't know tennis lingo as well as I should. Did she ever once aim for the ace?
They just, it's like, I don't know if it's just a type of technique that she did. Like, you see it in her qualifying match with Reiko, where Reiko just says, I think in their second set, that, oh, that was a wonderful ace that she just did. So I don't even know if Hiromi can distinguish when she does these aces. It's like, I don't know if she herself has enough knowledge to realize that's what Jin was trying to get out of her was the way that she does these aces, but oh well.
See, as a former gambler and as a current, I would say, God, how long has it been? 16-year Wii Sports enthusiast, particularly tennis and bowling. I didn't understand what ace they were talking about. And on top of that, I've been reading One Piece, so I knew about that ace, but that's about it. I didn't know what they were talking about. So it was just. I was confused. This movie made me confused. I was like, this is good. It's like you ever have pudding before? Like not like banana pudding, but just plain pudding.
Yeah, like jello pudding, like chocolate pudding.
Yeah, I thought to myself, this is like any type of pudding that like any type of Jell-O pudding, like other than I thought this was just like any type of Jell-O pudding other than banana pudding. I like it. It was nice. I don't ever want to have this again.
Yeah, I never really liked vanilla pudding. I think it's vanilla pudding.
Probably. You know,
I like chocolate pudding.
there's something called figgy pudding that I really don't want to try.
Same. But sorry, don't mean to go off topic
That's like all I do.
again. No, it's not true. No, because it's just. I don't know. I feel like, overall, I guess to try to get to positives, I like 70s shoujo. So the way the style of it is nice. It just reminds me of Rose of Versailles and Glass Mask, Dear Brother. So I was just like, oh, okay, like I love this style. So at least that was something fun to like get into. And I guess if you sort of ignore the Jin of it all, like Coach Jin and everything, I think the relationship development between Toto and Hiromi is really cute. And that he just seems to be like rooting for her and wants to encourage her, which is very like nice to see.
I would have to agree. And I also think that the relationship that that Reika and Oka have, I think that one is really good too. But I agree with you about the shoujo aesthetic because their eyes are so dreamy, the 70s shoujo aesthetic. They're always
Yeah.
just, they're some of the best era of eyes.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan.
Yeah, they're super expressive.
I will also say for a positive that I have, other than this movie being relatively pleasant despite all of my misgivings, I really like that opening song, like the theme song that they have for the movie. It's just really good to me. I like how it sounds. I like the lyrics. It's a good one. They chose the perfect set of clips and the perfect usage of that song for a trailer. That is key marketing right there. And then to have captured the hearts of thousands of people all across Japan, that makes you want to watch the movie. And now the movie just makes me want to watch the show. Actually, I think I'm gonna get the show from the Crunchyroll store, formerly known as Right Stuff Anime, because I need to know how this actually goes. Does she aim for the ace and does she hit it?
Yeah, does she win?
Does she
I want to know
win?
that too. Yeah.
Does she win with a loser of a coach like Jin? And then I want to see
Who
the
just
sequel.
dies?
Who just.
Yeah. I think that's another match, right? Aim for ace, aim for the ace, another match.
So there's a lot more to watch. Also, there are two separate Aim for the Aces, which, just like there are two Glass Masks and two Fullmetal Alchemists, there are actually two separate series for Aim for the Ace that I think came out in the same decade. And I'm like, did they remake the original? Or and then they had the movie too. It was weird. It was a weird time. I'm glad I wasn't alive during it, because I feel like that would have been a weird time to be alive. There's so much history there. That's what I really love about Aim for the Ace. That's what I love about, and I need to watch and read more, but you're right. Shoujo anime and manga during that time is astonishingly deep.
That's what I think too.
Though I do like the 90s and 2000s ones, especially Kamisama Kiss and Fruits Basket. Fruits Basket is one of my favorite just shows of all time.
True. And if guys, if you like Fruits Basket, Shoujo Sunday finished reviewing season one, so check that out.
Would you believe me if I told you that I did that on purpose?
Yes.
Thank you. I was like, I hope this works. But this is coming out in like 2024, so it won't be just, but you could definitely say that you did it.
Yeah.
But do you have anything else that you want to say about it? I finally calmed down. I think my blood pressure is at a healthy level, so I think I'm good right now. Do you have anything else you would like to say?
I think that I liked how Hiromi and Reiko were able to sort of resolve their differences once Reiko acknowledged like Hiromi's talents on the tennis court. I think it's good to like see that rather than, the big bad of a series or a movie being like, I guess, a woman against another woman. It's just more so like the underdog against their own doubts of their ability. And so to see it kind of be redirected like that was nice, because Reiko ended up not being the big bad. The big bad was just I guess more Hiromi being able to believe in herself and not just buckle to the pressure around her to do something different.
You know, I agree with you because actually there was one thing that happened where I was like, this is actually amazing. I don't think Reika ever necessarily said that she hated Oka, and then it got to the point where she's like, I see her trying to do all these things, but I don't want her to get crushed. So she said, I don't want to see her get crushed. She said, so I'm going to destroy her on the court. And this is my testament of love to you. So she's like, if I beat her here, then she'll go out to do more training and she won't have to face any, like, any, and she won't have to face any humiliation, any defeat, and she'll be beat by her hero. She's like, I love her, so I'm gonna do that for her. And then she proceeds to get owned. So that was pretty neat. But I just really appreciated the progression of their relationship as well, to where she was able to do that not out of anger as she would have toward the beginning, but more so out of consideration, admiration, and respect for Oka's character. So it's just nice to see her say, well, we could be on equal footing, just not right now, because I've held this racket since I was 6 years old, and it's the despair that makes me keep coming back to it. That is what keeps me coming back to tennis and that's how I train. And I guess she didn't fully want that for her. So that was just really neat to see that Reika isn't just some brat or some heartless monster, but just somebody who's very dedicated to the sport and who, in reality, is just trying to look out for all of her Kohai. So, excellent point. I really don't have anything else. All I've been doing is talking smack about this movie for like an hour.
It has been a full hour, but no, I think we were just having an honest conversation about it.
Which I feel bad because, again, I did not hate this movie. This is the most middle of the road movie I think I've ever seen, where I don't outright hate it, but I don't love it. And
Love it.
I'd be hard pressed to say that I like it.
I feel like I feel very neutral.
Yeah.
Like I don't hate it, but I don't love it either.
Yeah,
I'm just in the middle. Like it's there.
you're not in drive, you're not in reverse, you're in neutral, you're about to get the car washed. That's all that's happening. Get your brain scrubbed so you don't have to worry about this movie anymore, and you're just gonna go watch the series. Chica, it's been wonderful having you on. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, no problem. I feel like this was a lot of fun. I have been meaning to get back into like my older anime bag. So venturing into this show with you is nice, even though I guess I technically watched part of it many years ago, but it's okay.
It's all right. I don't feel deceived or lied to or anything of the sort. I'm glad that you had that prior knowledge and that you brought it to this conversation.
No, yeah. And everybody, please don't feel deceived at all. I genuinely did not pay attention to Aim for Aces, like Japanese title. If I realized what the Japanese title was, I would have been like, oh, I've se actually seen this before, whatever. But it's fine because I haven't. You can The thing is, you can't even access the live action show anymore, which also shows my age. So, like even on fan subs, so it's perfectly fine.
Do you think it might be on the Internet Archive?
I don't know.
I'll
I
try
don't
it.
know, but I used to really be obsessed with Aya Uwaito. So, like, I think she also did another show, like, what? This one's tennis. I think she did a volleyball one that I also watched that you can't find. Like, you can find the theme song that she created for the show, but you can't find the show or clips of it online anymore. So, it is what it is.
I'm gonna have to look all these up. Lashika, where can they find you? Where can the audience find you?
I guess if Twitter is still around, you can find me on Twitter. I don't know if I'm still private or not, but I mean, when this episode comes out, if you guys are just like trying to follow, I'll realize it's you and I will allow you to follow me. You can also find me on Instagram, Blue Sky. I really like that if you're on Blue Sky. I have Threads, but I don't really use it. And also my podcast, Shoujo Sunday. You can find Shoujo Sunday probably everywhere. If you like Shoujo, then definitely check us out.
I don't know what two of those social platforms that you said are, which means that even though I don't get out much, I also am very enclosed in the things that I watch slash listen to slash enjoy. So, thank you for that. And what are your handles again?
Oh yeah, my handles. My handle is Chica Supreme, and that is Chica with a K and not two C's. And Shoujo Sunday is, well, Shoujo Sunday is Shoujo Sunday, but Shoujo with the U spelling, so Shoujo Sunday, like ice cream sundae, Sundae.
Oh, so it's called Shoujo Sunday because it's like ice cream because it's sweet and you release on Sunday. Oh my God, that's
Yes.
you really thought that through, didn't you?
Yeah, well, right at the outset, the very beginning, came up with the title and it's just like we need to release our episodes also on Sunday. Yeah.
Wow, that is like you are playing 4D chess right now. I love it. Well, if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. If you want to email me recommendations, you can do so at ouranimehome@gmail.com. If you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider donating to the Patreon or the Buy Me a Tea. And also, feel free to join the Discord server. Also, Chica, does Shoujo Sunday have any type of like Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee, Tea, anything of the sort?
Yeah, we have Patreon. So we have three tiers. It's sprinkle on top, whipped cream, and hot fudge. And the hot fudge tier is our highest tier, but people get access to Shonen Sunday, where we review Shonen anime once a month. Exclusively for you guys, because public facing, we're giving more attention to Shoujo, but still. So there's Shonen Sunday. There's also Licorice Live Action, and that is for our whipped cream patrons. So that's the tier that's under Hot Fudge, and that is where we actually review live action Shoujo, and we are currently reviewing Boys Over Flowers, the Japanese live action version, which has been a very fun time. I've seen it, and I guess Gianna is technically reacting to it for the first time. So if you want to experience that, that's our whipped cream tier. And then also the sprinkles tier is really just people who just want to, give us that extra boost, because even though we are going weekly in February, we're normally bi-weekly. Because it takes a lot of ability and power to like put these episodes out, and it's kind of hard to be weekly without having any sort of support. So yeah, if you'd also like to, besides just following Shoujo Sunday and like rating us 5 stars, if you also want to support us monetarily, you can through our Patreon.
Wonderful. Well, with that being said, thank you again, Chica, for joining me. Thank you all for listening. Go watch Gunbuster. And with that, we are out.
Bye.